Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Raise your hand if you love a good, sexy, romantic comedy. Unless you're driving, in which case, please keep your hands on the wheel. Sweet Treat is a brand new sexy rom-com from author Lonnie Rhee. Temptation has never been so sweet. Megan Lennox never thought she would leave her home for tiny Sweetbriar, Colorado, but Grammy Lois needs her. Now running the Sweet Beginnings Cafe and adjusting to this unique place are the least of her worries. Hardin McKenzie's well-ordered life was going just great until the redhead, free-spirited, ditzy little Spitfire bulldozed her way in and turned everything upside down. The town of Sweetbriar isn't ready for Megan, and she's not going to make life easy for Hardin, but he's made up his mind that no one else will get a taste of his sweet treat. So you guys, this is in Kindle Unlimited. It's brand new. And this author, Lonnie Rhee, has some really good stuff. So make sure you go check her out. Go click this book. And if you need to know how to spell her name, it's Lonnie, L-O-N-I, and last name Rhee, R-E-E. You definitely don't want to miss this one. Good clicking. Bye.
Hey, lady listeners.
Hey.
Hey.
Coming in hot.
Mel is back.
Yes.
Yay.
Welcome back, Mel.
She's not dead, by the way. Let's go ahead and cancel that in memoriam thing that we had made up for her. The soft music place. And we were going to...
We were telling Lola on the recording last week that if you were actually dead, to please erase everything.
We're like, okay, if she's really dead, just cut this out.
I'm not even sure what I had still.
Oh my God.
I just remember getting out of bed and I'm walking. I get out of bed and I'm walking to go do what I normally do. And I like tip over into the wall. And I'm like, God, my body hurts.
I feel like that's
and
probably pretty
downstairs,
normal.
I get downstairs to do my normal stuff before I wake my son up, and I sit down on the couch, and I was like, I can't do this. And I couldn't even go back up the stairs. I called my husband.
Oh, my God.
I was like, you're going to have to get up because I'm not moving.
Shit, see, that
if
was
I, if I stumbled sideways and fell into the wall, I would be like, it's over. I'm done.
I have a tumor.
I wouldn't even stop at sick. Like, I would immediately just assume – I have 24 hours to live. I better make it count.
I mean, that's.
I just thought
legit.
I was groggy, so I like stumbled in the wall. I'm like, shit, my body. I must have ran too much yesterday or something. At first, I just thought it was my body waking up. But
I love that you're wearing like a Hershey's fleece. Like, it is literally a Hershey's candy bar fleece.
It's so soft. It looks super
soft.
It's
really soft.
What's the temperature there, Melissa? You're allowed to wear stuff like that when it's like negative numbers.
I think it's like 10 right now. It was like.
That hurts here.
Negative this morning. The kids get really mad because to get school canceled, it has to be like a negative 20 wind chill. And they're like praying. It'll get down to like 15. They're like, come on, just a little colder. I'm like, I'm dying. You're going to school. Shut up.
Meanwhile, mine are off for 3 days. They had like some sort of like early winter break. I don't know what the fuck this is. I feel like they just went back to school for Christmas.
They're just making stuff up now.
Yeah, they had half days on Thursday and Friday, and they were out of school Monday, Tuesday, and tomorrow, Wednesday. They'll be out those 3 days. I was like, what are you guys doing? I was like, you teachers act like you don't want to put up with these assholes. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I love you teachers. Pay them more. They deserve all the money.
Mackenzie was off for Martin Luther King Day, but then she kind of woke up this morning with a cough, and I was like, no.
No.
I was like, please,
no.
God, no.
Please,
why does
God.
This happen on the tail end of a vacation? It has to be, like, right when it ends instead of at the beginning of the vacation.
Oh, why?
And I had to go to a funeral this morning and then hurry back to record the podcast. So I was like, not today, Satan. Please, God.
Not today.
I'm praying to both of them, God and Satan, whichever one wants to listen.
My 5-year-old's bedroom is directly above my office, and I've heard like maybe roller skates or something of that. Like, apparently she has BBs and she's just dropped 1,000 of them on the floor. I don't know. I'm hearing lots of strange noises. So if there's any background things happening today for me, that is definitely it. It's my kids that I've banished to their rooms, not realizing that it's probably going to be louder with them in their rooms than if I'd have just left them in the living room. So it is what it is today, guys. We're doing our best. We have no heat downstairs. That's what I was telling Mel about before we started. Our heat went out this weekend while we were away. So there's no heat downstairs in my house. So I'm cuddled up. I have a blanket in my lap. And normally this would be a joke because it'd be 60 degrees out and I'm bitching about it freezing. But it actually is 36 here right now. So it is legitimately cold.
It's 32 here. So,
well, welcome to the weather podcast. Read me romance weather girls.
So we are, we are your weather girls, and have we got news for you.
Yep.
Okay. Temperature's rising.
No, we're not singing the whole fucking song.
I can't stop.
Find a way out.
Mel, do you have any idea what I'm singing?
No.
Is it not that Naked Weather Girls thing?
No.
Oh, then no,
it's Rain and Men.
The song, oh, it's Rain. Yeah. That's how it starts off. It's Rain. We're your weather girls.
Oh, no. I just thought you guys were talking about those weather girls that get naked.
Oh, is that like, that's like a Russian thing, isn't it? Like, isn't it in Europe or something like that? Like, where they, the women like take off all their clothes and do the weather and stuff. Like, they start to undress while they do it. Like, strip weather.
I just remember hearing about it years ago, and I just figured that's what you guys were talking about.
Sure, that's definitely it. Google it later. It's a thing. It's probably on Pornhub.
I don't have time for this right now. Like, I saw Bombshell yesterday, and anything like that that just caters to just the nastiness of men, I'm like, fuck that.
Well, are you talking about the Charlize Theron Bombshell?
Bombshell,
or the
yeah.
new one.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is
Bombshell?
It?
It's about, you know, the women at Fox News that came forward and reported the sexual harassment of
yes
yeah.
That's the new movie that just came out. Okay, I was thinking of the one that Charlize Theron's like an assassin,
but she is in this.
That was okay
in
that
Bombshell.
Was a couple years ago, but yeah, okay.
She plays Megyn Kelly in Bombshell, and it doesn't even look like Charlize Theron.
Really? It's it looks weird. Like Megyn Kelly
is. That's not shocking. Remember when she did Monster?
Oh yeah, that's true. She's like a fucking changeling, man.
I loved that movie so much because I was like, it's so hard not to side with her after you see what she puts up with her whole life. And then she just snaps and you're like, yeah, I would have snapped too, probably. I mean, she definitely had.
But yeah. Speaking of though, like, so we watched the Aaron Hernandez thing on Netflix. Have you watched it yet?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So like for those of you who don't know about Aaron Hernandez, he was a football player at Florida. He played when Tebow did. He was a wide receiver, and he was really popular.
He was a tight end.
Both, actually, wasn't he? Well, did he do wide?
He was a tight end, but they said he played like a receiver.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, they said he played like a wide receiver.
Yeah, and then he was drafted into the Patriots. So, but he ended up murdering a couple people while he played. Yeah, while he played in the NFL. So that's what the documentary is about. But so it's hard to watch that and not have some bit of sympathy for like maybe his like what he had been through as a child, like, you know, maybe the abuse that he suffered from his father, like physical abuse and also sexual abuse from other people in his life. And, you know, it's hard, you know, when you watch, you know, these documentaries that think about like serial killers and people who have been through stuff, I think it's difficult to not, it humanizes them in a way, you know, because you just see their acts and you think they're monsters, like, you know, Charlotte.
It helps you feel better that they're in your mind just to think that they are monsters.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And not that, oh, fuck, this could happen to anybody, you know. And the thing with the Hernandez thing that I wanted to talk about, you know, they talk, was it CTE? Is that the?
Yes.
That the thing? So they said that contributed to his like mental instability.
Oh, I'm sure.
And like they looked at his brain afterwards, like they studied his brain after he died and compared it to like a healthy one, and then talked about, you know, the doctor's on the, you know, on the thing, and she's on the documentary, and she's saying like, you know, I've never seen anyone this young with this severe trauma to it, like in such a short amount of time. She's saying within like, you know, she guesstimated, what was it, a decade? That like all of this trauma happened to him, and he was young. He was like what was he, 23 or 24 when he stopped playing, when he got arrested?
They say that this is why I will not let my daughter play football. They say even at the young age, it messes with the brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, it causes damage.
Are not natural. It causes your brain to repeatedly hit the back of your skull.
Yeah.
And they said, that's why I will not, as much as I love football, I will never allow my son or daughter to play.
Yeah. Well, and they had the owner of the Patriots on there, and they were interviewing him, and he was like, you know, my kids played football, I played football, my grandkids played football. He was like, I would recommend football. He was like, to every mother out there, he was like, I would tell your kid to play football. He was like, you know, we've come so far, you know, we've, you know, improved safety measures, you know, we have better doctors, we know what to look for. And I just turned to my husband and I said, This is the head of the tobacco company telling me it's okay to smoke. I said, this is bullshit right now. Like, I was so fucking mad when it was over. And I wasn't mad at Hernandez. I was mad at every outlet in his life that led him to this point. Not that this wasn't his decision to murder those people in, you know, cold blood, in a crazy rage or whatever caused him to do that. Being a sociopath, I don't know, you know. Those murders were on his hands, and he's guilty of those. I truly believe that. But I don't necessarily know that there's not other people at fault in this, you know? Like, that's what I took away from the documentary.
Yeah, it's like when someone, you could see that he had this talent and kind of like maybe not somebody to stand up for him. So he was put in these situations where he was just getting repeatedly just knocked up. Like, it seems like the Patriots kind of like made him their workhorse, you know, like, get us the yardage, and then we'll give Gronkowski the glory kind of shit, you know?
Yeah.
And you could see, like, and they said in his high school career, like, he got hit so hard one time that he didn't get up, for he lost consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And we know from our true crime background that a knock to the head.
Yeah.
Knock to the head can, like a lot of serial killers had head injuries as children.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I don't know if that's CTE related or if it's something different, but
yeah, just trauma to the brain.
Trauma to the brain can give you violent tendencies.
I mean, I hate that I love it so much and I watch it, but it's a scary sport. I mean, I look at Tom Brady and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I feel like you're a dummy. You have millions and millions of dollars and you keep putting yourself back out on this field. You got your Super Bowls. What are you doing? Now you're just being dumb.
He's just addicted. Then you don't know. That sort of stardom, yeah, how do you walk away from that? You know what I mean?
Well, that's what they say when, like, with these football players, is they have a very hard time readjusting once they're not on a football team anymore. Because, and I think when, you know, Belichick says, I recommend football to everybody, I think what it is because it gives kids a sense of identity. It gives a sense of, it gives them a community.
It's like a fraternity, like, though, you know? It's like a brotherhood. Yeah.
And once it's not there anymore, you can see, like, I think it's, they talk about how football players can fall into depression once they're no longer in that life, like, constantly anymore.
Who was the guy from the Chargers that they talked about?
Junior Seau.
Oh, my God. That was so sad. I cried.
So he went to the high school that was in my town, that was the rival high school. So I went to El Camino High School and he went to Oceanside High School, which like our rival. Yeah, like our rival. We would play them in football.
Mm-hmm.
And he's old. He's a lot older than me. So he wasn't playing for them or anything while I lived in San Diego. But, you know, he got them to the San Diego Chargers to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I mean, no, you know, the Chargers, I don't think had ever been to a Super Bowl, and he was a god in San Diego. Everybody had a Junior Seau jersey. Everybody loved him. He was a good person. He did a lot of charity work. He was friendly. When I heard that he, you know, so I don't know if anybody knows this, but this is kind of depressing, but he shot himself in the heart because he wanted his brain to be studied for CTE purposes, so that they could study his brain and determine and basically chalk it up to football.
Yeah, and say, this is what football's done to me.
Yeah.
But the reason he was brought up, not only for the CTE, because he transferred from San Diego to the Patriots. He asked them to trade him because he wanted a Super Bowl. They made it to the Super Bowl with the Chargers, but he wanted the ring. He wanted to win. And so that's what my husband and I were talking about last night. He said, I remember, because we're a house that hates the Patriots, so just going to put that out there. So he said, my husband and I were talking last night. He was like, I remember when that happened. He was like, I was so happy for him that he finally got out of the ring. He was like, man, fuck the Patriots, but I'm really glad he got it. But yeah, I had no idea. And when they said it about the, he died by suicide, when he shot himself in the chest, I was just like, holy fuck. Like, he really knew that this was like something that needed to be studied. Like, God. So I don't know. I mean, I know this is like way off topic, but Tetsa, it's your week on Read Me Romance. So we're going to talk about some fucked up shit.
But one more thing, though, is that it's all about money. Everything's about money.
It's right? 100%. That's what I said.
And the NFL makes way too much money mm-hmm. to change anything. And so they're going to let these people damage their bodies yep. in the name of football glory.
Mm-hmm. And they don't realize it. Yeah. And they don't realize it until they're at an age where they could actually evaluate.
Until they can't do anything.
Yeah, and you can't do it. And you can't look at the brain until they're dead. You know, this is something like you will not know unless a player dies and you dissect their brain. That's how you find out. Oh, yeah, this was CTE because they're dead now. You know, like, it's fucking nuts.
And they might already have a way of determining that you have it when you're alive, but you're never going to hear about it because money.
Yeah.
No, because you're in there. Yeah. And when you're in that moment too, I could imagine. I mean, they're like, we don't care. Clear me, doc. Clear me. You, they want back in too. It's like, you're in that mob mentality mm-hmm. that you want to get back on the field. And even being at home, you can feel that like, go, 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 go. I remember Clay Matthews breaking his thumb 1 year. And I'm like, he doesn't need a thumb. Let's go. What are we doing?
I know. And you're at home screaming. And he wants to do that, you know? Like, he's ready to go in. But I think you would find this really interesting because they interview a lot of players too. And there was a young guy that was at Wisconsin and he played for – did he play for the Vikings for a year? I can't remember who he played for in the NFL. Or was it – I can't remember if it was the Colts or anyways. I know he played college at Minnesota, but he was talking and he said, I was there. I was a freshman in college. And he said, and I saw these guys like shooting up with whatever he called it. I can't remember what it was. And he was like, I was really naive. I thought it was steroids. And he was like, oh, no, it's just something to make you not feel pain. It's basically like it numbs you so you get back out there and keep going. But it wasn't illegal at the time. And he was like, I even thought then, like, that's probably not safe. And he said, we used to joke about CTE, like, oh, I'd forget my car keys and be like, oh, that's CTE setting in. And he said, then when I got to the NFL, he said, I spent 1 year in the NFL and I saw what those doctors did to put those players back out on the field and how little regard that they had for them. And he said, I just thought, I can't do this. I can't die this way. And so he got out and there was like a big news story on him. They were like, I don't know what he was drafted, but they were like, high draft pick jumps out of the NFL for the first year, citing dangers of CTE is like his fear. And people gave him so much shit for that. And I was like, really? We're angry at him because he wants to protect his brain?
Well, that happened to the Colts, their quarterback, Andrew Luck, supposed to be the Andrew next Luck. Big thing.
Yep.
Yeah. He was like, I'm sorry, guys. I gotta go. Yeah.
Well, I feel you're seeing it more and more often. You're seeing, like, I think it was something Luke Kuechly or something. He had dipped last week. He retired early. Mm-hmm. Gronkowski retired early. Because I think they're getting advised by people that
you can't do this.
You can have $1 billion in the bank and none of it matters if you're not yourself anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We had a lineman go out and I was like, good for you, man. Even though I was sad to see him go, I was like, it's time.
We know, and especially the linemen that get hit like that all the time, like constant, just every play, hit. You know, it's different. Like if you're a wide receiver or, tight end, like you do have a chance. You're not going to get maybe hit as often, but it's still going to happen. So, it's just scary. But the documentary I found fascinating because of all the people they brought in to talk about it. And it was people who didn't have skin in the game, like people who were just like doctors, like, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I dissected this brain. This is science. Like, you can disagree with me all you want, but this is science. And they had like a ton of former players that were like, one guy, and I can't remember his name or who he played for, but he played with Hernandez on the Patriots. And he said, he was like, I don't think, Aaron Hernandez, I don't think CTE had anything to do with him killing those people. He said, think about all the retired NFL players out there. None of them are running around killing people and they probably have CTE. And I was like, I would agree with you on that. I said, but that doesn't. You can't say that CTE isn't a contributing factor to the things that cause it, you know, causes paranoia. It causes, you know, fits of rage. You know, you can't tell me that maybe he was predispositioned to this already and the CTE just kicked it in overdrive.
Yeah. And there, what the part that I found the most fascinating, I'd already seen a documentary about this on Oxygen.
Uh-huh.
And so like a lot of the facts I'd already heard of this case, but I thought it was so cool when they were talking about the way the Patriots evaluate incoming players. And it, yeah, it's, so there's like 15 categories and it's like,
they all these, they give you like psych evaluations and all this stuff,
but they like, they dig into your past like private detectives. Mm-hmm. And so on all of the, on every single category, which was like sportsmanship, teamwork, like mm-hmm. work ethic, it was all high 10. Mm-hmm. He got 10, 10, 10. And then social maturity was one. Like he got his, like a very, very low score for social maturity. So I think if you throw in these impulses for violence and you add social immaturity, like maybe mm-hmm. the need to fit in, the need to prove your macho-ness.
Yeah.
And so, to talk
to the lack of understanding of what death is.
Yeah.
The lack of understanding of consequences. Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like our jails forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, it, the whole thing is fascinating, especially the way Aaron Hernandez dies. Because he kills himself in his jail cell, but he hangs himself. And then he writes a letter to his lawyer. And in it, he says, like, hey, you're about to get paid, buddy. Because there was a loophole at the time. And was it Connecticut? Is that the state that he was in when he was being tried?
Yes.
So if you die while your case is open, because he had appealed his case, and so it was considered open. If you die while that happens, you're innocent. They can't find you guilty. It was some arbitrary law they had from like centuries ago. But they said, if you die while you're on trial, you're innocent. So that's what he said. Like his lawyer would get paid from the NFL if they found him innocent. And so that was basically the reason, or contributing factor again, to why he killed himself, was that you get it. Well, it turns out like Connecticut overrules that shit, finds him guilty, like reinstates the guilty verdict, and nobody gets any money. And I said, at the end of it, I was just so sad for his fiance and his daughter. Cause I just hope that somebody took care of them, like financially, you know, because they were the ones that got screwed out of everything by this guy. And it was sad.
It's sad.
But I don't have sympathy for him. Like I think he's an asshole. I think he's,
no, you gotta do the time.
Yeah.
You know, you do the crime.
Yeah, for real.
There's no way around it, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was a good documentary.
It was so good. Well, nobody
it's
has
a three-parter. It's on Netflix.
Well, I was going to say, nobody has to watch it now because we've just said the whole thing.
But we haven't even gotten to the fact that the guy he killed was his fiance's sister's boyfriend.
Like, yeah.
They were friends. The whole thing tore these two sisters apart. They were dating friends.
Yeah.
One was dating Aaron Hernandez, married to Aaron Hernandez.
Or the rumors.
And her sister was dating the guy he killed.
Well, and the rumors that he might have found him in a compromising position with another man, that, you know, that's the underlying thing through this whole thing, is that Aaron Hernandez was bisexual and he was trying to hide that from the NFL. And so they interviewed a lot of players, or a couple of players who were gay and that had been through the NFL and stuff. And so it was just like, oh, wow. So this is like a whole nother level. Layer. Like, you know,
it goes deep.
It goes all the way to the top.
It goes all the way to the top. You should watch it. It's really good. I love crime documentaries. Just give me all of them. Well, welcome to Read Me Romance. It is my week on the podcast. I feel like we talked enough about me last week, so I'm just going to tell you that this is double booked. What do they call it?
Menage.
Menage.
I know. I was like, is she looking for the word menage? Like, really? She's searching for that word?
It's the only one I've ever written. Yeah, it's the only one I've ever written. And I...
What do they call this?
It's one of Eagle's, like... Eagle's, our mutual editor, is one of her favorite things I ever wrote.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, she loves this.
That's
it's a cop and it's a fireman. A cop and a biker, and you don't know you never find out their names. They're just cop and biker.
Wow.
And you booked a date with them on the same night at the same place, and you show up, and they're just like, they want you on site. And so they convince you to go home with both of them, and you've never done anything like this before. So
how long ago did you write this?
What?
How long ago did you write this?
It's been a couple of years.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I have like a, you know, like a, I have a Facebook group and I think I wrote it just for them. So, when I was thinking of what to do, I was like, I'm going to do something fun, you know, like something
like
hot.
That.
So yeah, it's good. It's hot and sexy. And I don't know. I don't usually read Minaj because I'm like, I like an alpha male who doesn't want to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then, a lot of people are like that.
Yeah. So I made both of them that way. And ooh, they have like to that. Like, they have to like come to a compromise.
Pun intended.
Because they're both alphas and they both don't want to share. So there's like a little bit of a little bit of fighting between them. I think there might be some swords crossing.
Ooh, that was my question too. Is there any reach arounds on this?
No, but it's like an accident and they both kind of go, ooh, what was that? I feel tingly.
Ooh, I like
that. So anyways. Yeah, this is the first half of Double Booked by yours truly, and enjoy it, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Double Booked by Tessa Bailey, read for you by Kit Swan. Chapter 1. Someone fucked up, and it was clearly you. Work this week was a bear and you must have been distracted. Because only a woman being held together by caffeine and a prayer would book a date with two men. At the same time. At the same damn restaurant. Ugh, the pitfalls of online dating. Several different profiles across the internet have finally caught up with you in the form of a clean-cut, square-jawed cop and a tattooed biker with a cigarette behind his ear. They both stand, one briskly, one slowly, as you come to a stop between the two tables. Hey, gentlemen. There's been quite an embarrassing mistake. You see... Cop gets it first, throwing a glance at biker before returning his sharp attention to your red face. Jesus. Biker starts laughing. I think it's for the best if we just forget this ever happened, you continue, wincing at the note of hysteria in your voice. I mean, who could ever choose? The biker slides the cigarette from behind his ear, tapping it against his sculpted lips. Who says you need to choose? Chapter 2. Who says you need to choose? Biker's question is hanging in the air like a dense, dangerous cloud, one that floats forward and surrounds you. You should laugh off the blatant invitation, repeat your apology, and leave. That's exactly what you're going to do, right? Only Cop isn't laughing. After his initial scoff, he has grown still, watching you under hooded eyelids. Maybe even a little ashamed of himself for still standing there. Waiting. They're both waiting for an answer, and you've let yes become an option because you've been indecisive too long. Little by little, Biker has let go of his amusement, smirk fading as his gaze runs over your body, pausing at the hem of your skirt and scraping back up. He swaggers over to Cop's table, jerking out a chair and falling into it. Then he drags the chair over from his vacated table, placing it in between him and Cop. Your seat. Why don't you come sit down? Decision time. You're hovering on the brink of something unfamiliar. But the way they're watching you in the dark restaurant, silent among the low hum of conversation, bass pumping from the speakers around you, it places one foot in front of the other until you're sitting between these two vastly different, outrageously sexy men. Their energy and focus branding you the moment you're seated. Cop raps his knuckles on the table, a quick punctuation, making your stomach flip like a tossed-up quarter. I don't do this. I don't share. You're still here, though, aren't you? Biker rolls his tongue around his mouth, watching Cop, even as his tattooed hand glides over your knee and holds, massaging with such possession. Your pulse beats in a thick, winding manner.
I'd say you've been working around the clock. Haven't had time for a woman in a good long while.
His attention returns to your heating face.
And then this hot young girl walks in, legs for miles, looking like she'd be so fucking sweet on your tongue. And you decide sharing might be worth finding out how she tastes beneath her panties. Sound about right?
You watch the pulse at the base of Cop's neck, tick, tick, tick. His Adam's apple bobbing as he watches Biker's hand smooth up your thigh, stopping just beneath your dress.
Yes, he rasps. I want to know how she tastes right now.
Maintaining his grip on your thigh, Biker twines the fingers of his opposite hand in your hair, tilting your head back and exposing your neck. Right there in the restaurant. You can hear the hiccups in conversation around you, the quiet murmurs. But it's all eclipsed by the lightning strike of lust in your tummy when Cop releases a shallow breath against your throat, licking up your sensitive flesh and ending with a growl behind your ear.
Oh my God,
you whimper, squeezing your knees together.
Sometimes a woman needs two men,
Biker says, his voice like blue fire, fingers twisting in the strands of your hair, setting off a demanding pulse between your legs.
Sometimes it takes two men to worship a woman the way she deserves. And you, baby, you deserve that, even if God knows we don't.
Cop shifts, and you feel his erection against the outside of your thigh. Biker's hand moves those final few inches until his fingertips brush your underwear.
What's it gonna be?
He whispers in your ear.
Will you let us idolize your cockbait body 1 minute and fuck it like dirty dogs the next?
Check, please,
you manage. Chapter 3.
Whoa, buddy. That was the most intense cab ride of your entire life. Not only because you were crammed in between two men who radiate heat like furnaces, their fingertips brushing up and down your legs, lips gliding over your bare shoulders, but because you're pretty sure this is going to be the fastest orgasm of your life. Of anyone's life, actually. At one point, you met the cab driver's gaze in the rear view and swore he winked at you, as though you'd entered some alternate universe where everyone is in on a naughty secret, starring yours truly. After an equally tense elevator ride, you've let the clean-cut Cop and rough-and-tumble Biker into your apartment where, thank God, your roommate is not present and won't be home until tomorrow night. Barely giving you a chance to set your keys down, Biker approaches from behind, drawing you back against his chest. You smell the leather of his jacket, the hint of tobacco and mint on his breath. His hands are the rougher of the two men, calloused from the handlebars of his bike. They abrade your wrists as he draws them back, securing them at the small of your back with a firm grip. His prisoner. Which is kind of ironic since there's a professional prisoner taker on the scene, and speaking of which, incoming. His boots tread heavily on the wood floor as he saunters close. Thud, thud, thud. Wait, that's your pulse, where it has decided to live inside your throat, beating mercilessly. Because you thought Cop was hot in the restaurant, but since entering your apartment, he has taken off his jacket, revealing bazookas for biceps, and to say they are distracting is not an understatement, because they are battling against the huge erection in his jeans for your focus. Where do I look? What's he going to do? What are they going to do? Behind you, Biker begins a concentrated attack on your neck, scoring the skin with his teeth, licking over the sore spots he creates as if you're made of the world's finest chocolate, groaning with every taste. You want to reach back and hold his head, keeping him at that deliciously sensitive spot behind your ear, but your hands are bound, and he has no problem reminding you, tightening his hold with authority. The distance between you and Cop has finally vanished, but right before his lips lands on yours, he stops, breathing heavily less than an inch from your mouth. His powerful hands tease the hem of your dress before he begins giving you a full-on massage, climbing the sides of your thighs with aggressive strokes of his thumbs.
Tell me something about you, sweet girl. Something that'll help me fuck you right.
Hey, we're back.
Hey. Welcome. So tell them what you're doing this week. What are you giving away? What do you got on sale?
I don't know if I'm going to, what am I going to have on sale? If you sign up for my newsletter, which I'll put the link in everywhere, I'll put it in the episode description. I'm going to send out the ebook of Renaissance Man for free.
Nice.
So sign up for my newsletter and you'll get that. And then I'm going to give away a Kindle Fire.
Oh, nice.
So go to readmeromance.com and enter to win a Kindle Fire. And yeah, good stuff.
Awesome.
And I'm sure throughout the week I'll be posting in Read Me Romance headquarters about other giveaways. So,
Do we have new releases today?
Yes. We do have a Read Me Romance book that is out in ebook now, Ride a Ranger by Elle Christensen, and then Love Forever by Lucy Darling.
Nice.
And that's it.
Awesome.
Sweet. Do you have any new books out, Tessa, that you need to tell anybody about?
No.
Love Her or Lose Her. If you haven't gotten it, you should get it.
But I'll have some news about another release. I'll have it in the next couple of weeks here. I think we're doing the cover reveal in early February. So, yeah,
ooh,
stay tuned for that. My paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm excited.
Okay, guys. We'll see you on Friday. And Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick. Bye.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read.